Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
D-O-I in apostrophe, I-T-W-I-T, H-D-A-N-N-Y, and J-E-N-N-Y. Doing it with Danny and Jenny, doing it with Danny and Jenny.
Bleak, bleak world, Eli Braden's song is a guiding light that makes you believe again and maybe have hope. Yeah. That's how I feel. Thank you for that wonderful theme song.
It's amazing. Eli Braden, thank you for that. Danny, how are you? You look amazing. Oh,
thanks. I just got back from Georgia, where I had a fiddling contest with the devil.
Oh. Did you lay that golden fiddle down?
I was victorious. Just a side note before we get into our guest, I always felt that the devil's solo was better than Charlie Daniels' solo.
I'll be honest, I always thought the same thing too.
Yeah, I thought it was, I didn't think he conceived that well. Also, yeah. His politics are fucked. And yeah, he's dead, so it's fine.
Yeah, to the devil and Charlie Daniels.
So Jenny, I think the first time we've had a guest on that I really just, I've heard, I knew who you were, but I wasn't where you were. I did a dive on you. Holy shit. Very impressive. Introduce her as you would introduce her to me, basically, is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, I mean, hot piece of ass.
Clearly.
You know, I usually make sure to lead with that. But been on Last Comic Standing, she's raised $30 million. For charity. You know how like you and I are pieces of shit, Danny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reached for a dollar for the squeegee guy at the exit of the Marina Freeway. I didn't have it, but yeah.
Did that like pretend?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is a person who's selfless.
Jesus
Christ. Caring.
I never met one.
She hosts all the human rights campaign galas. Like you and I don't even get invited to that shit.
No. We're what they're campaigning against.
Right. But everyone, it's Dana Goldberg, everybody.
Please give it up. Oh, Danny JJ, it's good to see you. And I've been wanting to be on the podcast for a long time. So now I'm here and I love that you, Jenny, for those of you that don't know this, there's a lesbian guitar neck to the left of you that I can see in the shot. And I'm glad you have it. It makes me feel at home.
It's my name on it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. My country singer friend and former Doing It podcast guest, Rich O'Toole, had that made for me.
Very
as a Christmas
nice.
Gift. Yes.
My goodness.
Nice. Well, hello.
And I can play like three things and then that's it.
Welcome to the podcast.
And Danny, honestly, first time a man has deep dived into me. So I appreciate it. I feel I had my best in my first and there's nowhere to go but down from here.
No, I mean, honestly, I've sent many a woman the other way.
Well,
for sure. But and I don't blame them at all.
And if you notice behind Danny, he has a lesbian...
I have a big old bass.
You do. I would have a negative 4x room raider. It looks like I'm in a prison cell. So well,
I don't know what this is. Is this like, you know, it's very minimalist. It's very like.
It is. But I have other, like I've got, it's just the way I'm sitting. I do have paintings. Like there's a, look at her. Look at her.
God.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like
so.
Erica Badu.
This is it though. This is all you get today.
Yeah, that's fine. we'll dive into your soul, if not your house.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the deeper place anyway.
Okay, so to start off, Dana and I are buddies and everything, and because of what has been going on in the world, I thought Dana would be the perfect guest to have on, because there's so much shitty stuff happening.
Oh my God.
I know you have an opinion, strong opinions on this.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you just get into how Obi-Wan Kenobi was such a letdown.
I mean, it was so many sequels. Like, do we need that many sequels?
It just didn't build. It was like, what a miss.
Yeah.
And then there's that other stuff that's going on with the country too.
Roe v. Wade shit, whatever.
Yeah,
let's get back to, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about OBGYNs. We want to talk about Obi-Wan. There's a big difference.
Holy shit. That's fantastic. How did I miss that?
Damn it.
She's fast. No wonder you're always singing her praises.
Yeah. Yes. But Dana, so like, how did you get into working with Human Rights Campaign? Like, let's dive into that. Yeah.
That's a fair question. So the money that I raised, people are like, she's a comedian. What's this about? I have a really weird gift of live auctioneering and money raising. And so I had been headlining a bunch of comedy events for the Human Rights Campaign around the country with Alec Mappa and Jim David and all these incredible comics. And they had a live auctioneer fall out of one of their galas in San Francisco. And I got a call the night before and said, have you ever done a live auction before? And I was like, no. They said, do you want to find out if you can? I was like, what could possibly go wrong?
What year was this?
2009. Wait, okay. Is that right? Yeah, 2009. It's been 14 years that I've been working with them.
Wow.
13 years. Sorry, physical education major. Math is not my strong suit.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That was it.
We don't.
Yeah, I had I got lucky. I was really good at it, I started doing a lot of different galas, and then other organizations like the Trevor Project and GLAAD, and even straight, you know, mainstream organizations, because they need money too. They started seeing me, and I have a really strong gift of walking a fine line with some very tough subjects, where I can bring in some comedy and levity, and that's what we do. And then people are happy and they open their wallets and give me all their money and I give it back to charity.
God, it's your timing could not have been more fortuitous. I mean, because again, you were into like saving the country before it was
cool to save the country
as necessary.
Before democracy was dying in front of us.
Yeah. But you were doing stand-up before this.
I was, yeah.
When did you start doing stand-up
how'd you get into it?
Well, my first stand-up set was in high school. I was 17 years old and I auditioned for my high school talent show and I won. It was a 10-minute set. I won the talent show. And years later, we found that tape and we digitized it because I wanted to put it on my DVD. And I'm wearing a pair of jeans, a button down, and a tie with polar bears. I looked just like Paula Poundstone. I was telling jokes about my ex-boyfriends and why it wasn't working out so well.
Wow. You were first season of Ellen.
I basically.
Did you have the brick wall behind you and everything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are you kidding? I had watched so many old tapes, like, and I didn't realize I was learning when they introduced me. And I got on stage. I was like, give it up for the MC. I was 17. Who says that? At the beginning of a talent show, give it up for the MC. And then I didn't touch a stage for about 8 years. And I went and auditioned for a show that was coming through Albuquerque, where I'm from, and was called Funny Lesbians for a Change. But it raised higher education scholarships for women in the community. And they gave me a 7-minute set in front of 650 people in a sold out theater.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And how did you do?
Jay, I don't know if you guys remember, you remember the first time you performed for different people. I hit my first big joke and I heard the most deafening laughter I'd ever heard. And I felt like I could fly. It was I don't do drugs, but I imagine that's the high people try and get again and again. And that's also why we put ourselves through this bullshit every weekend to get that high again and again. But that's what it started. And I was like, okay, this is where I belong. Let's see what I can do with it.
That's absolutely amazing. And I want, just going back to like at high school, when did you decide to be gay? No, I mean,
absolutely. When
were you pressured
Were you like,
when was I groomed is what you're asking?
What made you gay? did you?
That would be Nancy McKeon.
By the way, this makes me think of, I was at the Emmys once when Jane Lynch was hosting and she's like, many people ask me how I knew I was gay. Ladies and gentlemen, the cast of Entourage. That's how she brought them out. And it was without a doubt one of the greatest, like the place just, and of course,
blew up.
And of course the Entourage people reacted in exactly the way you would think, douchey. But
a lot of that cast is every reason why I'm actually a lesbian.
Yeah,
they were fucking bitch. God, grow up.
Did you go through like a period of like, you know, really like being in? I mean, obviously your jokes were about your boyfriend, and what was that journey like for you?
Then? Oh my God, Danny, that was the one and only show I ever talked about a boyfriend because I came out when I was 18, and so everything sort of shifted.
Oh, that's good.
And I know a lot of comics, sometimes they have personas on stage and they, you know, we exaggerate stories. And I just made a decision really early on in my career. I'm like, I'm going to be out and this is what I'm going to do. And I think that audiences, when they can see a comics being inauthentic, will tear them apart.
Completely.
Yeah. And so when I was standing on stage, just being like, this is who I am. If I could make them laugh early on, they didn't give a shit that I was a lesbian. But yeah. if I didn't have a good show, I was that lesbian that bombed. But if I had a good show, I was just a really fucking funny comic.
That's
so right. It's unfortunate that that's the way. And I think through the years, it's gotten better. But I've just always been out and I performed. And would my career be different if I had stayed in the closet? I actually don't care, because this is where I'm supposed to be and I feel good about it.
Yeah, wouldn't it, you know, it would be terrible if, you know, you can't.
But it's also extra hard because women aren't funny and we have to struggle with that.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, Jenny, I've heard you. We've gone on walks. You're the least funny person I've ever heard.
Exactly.
But Jenny Johnson is probably the funniest texter I've ever had the pleasure of having a texting relationship in my life.
Oh,
she is the fastest brain on the planet.
This is how I fell in love with Jenny. In a non, you know, I mean, you know, obviously partly sexual, but mostly non sexual way, was because
by the way, Danny will tell people, like, how many times we'll hang out and Danny will go, when I look at Jenny, it's the only time I don't get hard. It's the only time I don't announce it in front of a whole table of people.
Because you're obviously gorgeous, but you just always felt like my sister. And, like, I just, like,
that's,
you
know, fair.
Danny, we were like immediately family. Like, it was.
Could you imagine if Danny was like, Jenny, you remind me of my sister, and I have the hardest heart on right now? That would be much.
You're like my sister, but I don't want to fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be the least weird thing Danny's ever told me. So that's probably.
No, of course. I mean, you know, it's no secret Jenny has an amazing rack. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean,
she's always covered up in a sweatshirt. I get more action from Dewey than I do Jenny. So
let me just tell you something. Yeah, just a couple drinks in her, and then it's like, holy cow, she's smuggling a couple of dwarfs. It's like unbelievable.
They're called little people, Danny. What the fuck?
Yeah, use the proper term, sir. Oh,
I don't know. It's like you can't even say Eskimo anymore.
So, Dana, you're an actress as well.
I am.
Writer.
I am now. The pandemic, holy shit, that took away everything we had and loved and our self-esteem and self-identity and all that other shit. But what it gave me time to write a pilot. So,
Amazing. And how what was that experience like for you, especially doing it the first, you know?
Oh, it's been great. It's been incredibly well received. I'm proud of what I've written. I've had several drafts since. We've got a production company attached. We're looking to bring on another production company or director, and then hopefully go sell the shit out of this thing. But I'm proud of what I've written, and it was nice to know that something that's always lived inside my chest that I was afraid to do, that I'm really good at. Yeah. I'm really good at it.
I find that with a lot of
you have time. More like self-esteem than Danny and I put together.
No, I do not. It's only because I'm in the company of you guys. It just makes me look that way.
I wish we could have it reflected back at us, because we're
miserable. I remember the first like pilot I wrote, and I had like a draft of it, and Danny, I was like, I'm gonna send this to you. I'm like, I was so afraid to hit send, like just to send it in. With Danny and all his Emmys, goes, I'm terrified every single time. Like, I think I'm going to be found out. I'm a fraud, and that's going to be it. Like,
I can't tell you how many hundreds of hours of, probably certainly over 100 hours of television I've written. And no, even this little last draft of something I wrote, it's like, oh, this is the one. They're going to discover. They're going to find me out.
I know.
It's so weird.
It is weird. We put a lot, and it's also, they tell us, you know, you have to detach emotionally from what you put out there. And I'm like, have you met me? Like, I don't attach emotionally from anything, much less something that has been sitting and that I care about. But this has been sort of like an on the job training for me. It's happened very quickly because this is the first time I've written one, but I have an incredible team. And so even though every time, and you know this, you turn in the draft and you're like, fuck, there's, you know what? I know that that's not right. And they're going to tell me that that's not right. And then I have to not let it hurt my feelings and step back and rewrite it so it's right, or so that it works, or so that it's funny. But what's been nice is every time I've gotten notes back, even though I've been like, oh, when I sit back and I think, I go, they're absolutely right. They know what they're doing. Learn from them. And it's been a better draft every single time.
Well, that's amazing. That doesn't always happen, but that's amazing. Like that, you know, it's like as you move forward, what you find is it's like, it's finding that balance of like, cause you're going to get bad notes. And it's like, and like, I always say, like, nobody ever gets a pilot on the air taking every note, and nobody gets a pilot on the air ignoring every note. It just doesn't happen. So
really
it's like,
good.
And so you're part, you know, you already have the voices in your head. So I think also though, the armor that you must've built up, on stage already as a comic, telling stories and doing that, it does let you, you already have like, okay, I have a resume that I can fall back on. I know like, no one's going to arbitrate funny with you. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So that's a big sense of
comedy. Absolutely. I think the challenge for me, and I don't know if you all have had this, and Jenny, if you have, but when you're writing a pilot, you're developing all kinds of different characters, but they're all still in your head. So how do you diversify the voices so they don't all sound like the same sense of humor? They don't all sound like the same person when you're writing without a writer's room yet, because when you have the writer's room, you've got these other voices with those experience and life experiences. But when they're coming from your own head and you're like, wait a minute, I've always talked about things first person. And now I have to write about their experiences in a way that doesn't sound like me. Yeah. That was a lot of some of the learning.
No, it's pretty wild.
It is. It's fun when it hits, though. We had a table really read, is. And I was like, "Oh shit, that worked." They're laughing at lines they're not delivering. That's awesome. Like, it was good.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. You deserve it.
That's one of the most special things is when you hear people reading your words and it works. Like,
it's crazy fun. Like watching your, you know, it's like, it's really, it's fun to have that immediate thing of like on, you know, on stage and have a joke work. But when somebody else is doing your stuff,
it's
just really cool.
It does feel really good.
Now, so Dana, with what you do with human rights, like you have in the audience, you always have like fucking heavy hitters in the audience. It's not like you just have strangers. Like I go to the Comedy Store and I don't know anyone, you know,
hey, there's nothing wrong with being a Starbucks barista.
Yeah. But I would prefer that. I don't want to know anyone. Like, I don't want to look out like, you know, I remember Danny, like when we had Scott Kelly, you know, my astronaut buddy on the podcast, and I headlined a show in Houston and him and his wife come and they set them front row. And I'm like,
Jesus Christ,
you put a fucking American hero, the guy that just did a year in space, in the front row. So that's who I look at every time, you know, like. That, like, I couldn't get it out of my head for an hour, but every time you do, like, every week and you're doing these things and you're, like, sharing the stage with Beto O'Rourke and you've got, like, all these people, does that, like, freak you out?
Well, I think it doesn't freak me out anymore. I think what I had for a lot of years and every once in a while creeps in is the imposter syndrome where you're like, do I belong at the table with these people?
Right.
But then when I come off the stage and I've had moments where, like, I was going to go introduce myself to Molly Shannon and tell her how much I love the Saturday Night Live skit with, you know, with her and Rosie O'Donnell and Marcia, you know what I mean?
Mary Catherine
the Christmas one. Yeah. The little drummer boy when it was so good. And so I'd done my job and I do my job well. I know that. And I was coming off waiting to talk to Molly Shannon and she turned around and as I went to go open my mouth, she was like, oh my God, you were so fucking incredible. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, those are the moments where
that's
I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I came to compliment you and for them to enjoy my work, laugh at my jokes.
Yeah.
Those sorts of things. It's just like, okay, I don't do what you do necessarily, but I do what I do as good as what you do.
Yeah.
And so we can respect each other's crafts and respect each other's talents in that space. I've met some people that they say don't ever meet your heroes, but I've met some people where I'm like, wasn't disappointed. Like, I also lose my mind sometimes. Like, I need a handler. Like, I kissed Meryl Streep on the cheek and told her what an amazing ally she was. And I'm like, what is wrong? I'm surprised I wasn't arrested. It was Meryl fucking Streep, for God's sake. Like, I'm surprised one of her bouncers wasn't like, tackle her.
Right.
So sometimes I lose that space of weight. I'm part of the program. I'm part of the talent.
Yeah, you're like, you're weirdly like, oh, I slipped into this club and no one's there. But like, no, that, you know, and you don't want to take, if somebody's enjoying you, you don't want to take that away from them either.
Totally. And it's the same thing, Danny, as you saying, I hope this isn't the script they find out that I don't belong here.
I'm you know, to the don't meet your heroes thing. I mean, I think that's true most of the time, except like, you know, obviously I idolize Scott Baio and then meeting him was so...
I mean,
a bit of a letdown.
We can swap stories about Kurt Cameron and when I met him. Oh, and Schroeder, Ricky Schroeder.
Oh, Rick Schroeder.
Oh my God.
Bless their hearts. What happened?
Oh God. I remember like when I was in college, I thought Antonio Sabato Jr. was just smoking hot in his Calvin Klein ads. And now I'm like, the fuck is wrong with Antonio Sabato Jr.?
It is. Luckily, the numbers aren't high, but there's definitely a few of our child stars that went off the deep end, and I don't know how that happens, but maybe it just comes along.
Mr. Cosby was pretty much a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit.
What did he do?
He just loves women. It was just he loved women and pharmaceuticals. I think
he had a pharmaceutical problem.
Yeah, he was a rapist.
Who was a person that you met while doing everything that you were like the most like?
Oh man.
Like, I can't believe I just met this person and talked to someone and like.
Trying to think back recently.
Sigourney, who was your Scott Baio, basically?
So that's fair. So, well, I was going to say Sigourney Weaver, meeting Sigourney Weaver in New York was a little bit like taken aback by that. Definitely Meryl Streep. And I don't know why I'm stuck here. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, like meeting Joe Biden. And this was between the vice president and the presidency. He was speaking at one of the galas and I met him backstage and I said, you know, you probably don't remember me from a few years ago. And he goes, of course I do, Dana. And I was like,
wow.
And this thing about Joe Biden, no matter where you sit on the political spectrum.
Yeah.
And people like to talk about, oh, he's touchy feely and all of these things. He is touchy feely. And I'll tell you exactly why. Yeah. I think he is. Joe Biden has had a tremendous amount of loss in his life. He lost his first wife and a child. He lost another son. He has lost people that he deeply cared for. And so when he connects with another human being, he holds them close and he shows them, I see you and I want you to know that I see you.
Yeah.
And if you've ever actually met him, you would feel that. And so I have a picture with him I'm very proud of. And then meeting Kamala, who is absolutely stunning in person and just a powerful human being, meeting those two. I met Cory Booker the same night because they were all still running for president in 2020. Yeah. And Cory Booker's like a kindergarten father. Like he takes the camera and he does his own selfie and it's really close to his face and he's adorable. There's just some really good people out there that when you strip away the celebrity and you strip away the politician, they actually are really solid, good human beings. And there's no difference between you and them in that moment.
Yeah, it is nice to have that veneer. I mean, you know, there's obviously the people we dislike, you know, you sort of wonder like, where is that person you once were? Like, how did you get, you know, you look at, how are you so at ease with lying or having no shame?
And yeah.
How do you do that easily?
It's almost like when you see these like movies with like the villains and they try to do a backstory of how that person got to like, that's what it feels like. Where it's like when Cruella, I love that movie, but it's like, how did Cruella become Cruella? Well, let's dig deep and let's see like how the Joker became the, you know, like how did these people, did they go in being dirty?
No, it's like, you know, I think about Ted Cruz. Was he bitten by like a radioactive worm? Like, you know, it's like,
I mean,
it's like,
it's a good question.
Have you heard about Craig Mazin talk about them being roommates?
Oh, it's the best. Hell
no.
Oh, Craig Mazin, it's the funniest thing. And he's like,
I've seen his tweets or stories, but I've never actually heard him talk about this.
Oh my God. I was at a dinner one time, like Craig was sitting next to me and he's like, oh, I just laid in my bed. He's just staring in the mirror, practicing his fucking debate speeches. I was like, shut the fuck up, Ted. Like,
go like some porn, Ted. Knock it off.
Like, God, you fucking loser. Just fucking pass out. Like, oh my, I can't even imagine those two. But like, was Ted Cruz, I mean, Ted Cruz is a pussy. Like, I think we could all.
Yeah.
I think we're all in that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what do you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think like, you know, what is it? Tabula rasa, where you're supposed to have this clean slate when you're born. I think some people are just fucking born evil. Like, I know there's a lot of nature nurture and a lot can change, but I think there's these people like Donald, who is just didn't have it. He was going to be a sociopath from day one because of who his parents were, because of how he was brought into the world. And I don't think there's any saving those people. And I think a lot of them are in the Republican Party in Congress right now. We've seen it. Ted Cruz and Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, whatever happened to these people, there's no turning back.
No, I always like look and I think about like when I was a kid and I would get like a figurine. I loved getting like He-Man toy, whatever. And you pull them out of the package and sometimes one's fucked up, you know, like the guns
work backwards.
Like, yeah, they came out of the package fucked up. So there's no fixing it. It's like you're trying to like make it work, but it's just, it's
fucked. I believe this. So like this is a weird segue to go to my own children after after talking about these deals. But like, we had twins and they were immediately different people. Yeah. Like it was like raised them exactly the same way. Weirdly, in the womb, one of them was kind of doing backflips, the littler one, and we knew, oh, that's art. And she became the gymnast. And then one was really chill and she's more, and it was like, I wasn't nurturing anything while it was in the womb. I barely touched my wife.
Except that one time. It was just that one time.
Accidentally. Michael was born. It is humbling to when you see it's like, oh yeah, you come. I mean, you can definitely improve somebody and you can really make them worse.
Absolutely. 100%. But it's funny, like if people talk about, you know, homosexuality being a choice. Well, if you have twins, one of them just decided that they were going to be gay and the other one decided not.
Well, that's literally what happened.
A fun life. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a gay twin. I mean, you know, and then I have one that doesn't make Jesus cry. So it's like, it's nice that I have.
You have the one that you love and then the other one.
Yeah. One that's okay. One ashamed of my family.
Yeah, well, I make my Jewish mom disappointed in me, not because I'm a lesbian, it's because I'm not a doctor. I mean, come on.
I was working on this animated show with this Asian a writer. He's gay. And I was talking about that with his parents and, you know, first generation Korean. And it's like, it was telling them I was gay was easy. Telling them I'm engaged to a white guy, that is what's hard.
Yeah.
That's it.
He meant it. It's
like a Jewish mother. My mom saw one of my earlier shows and I was telling jokes about sex toys and, you know, sex and our family and all this other really dirty stuff. Yeah. And she comes up to me afterwards and she goes, Dana. And I was like, oh God, here we go. I loved your show. Did you have to say I was 63 on stage?
Oh yeah.
That was it. That's what she cared about.
I do that to my mom all the time when she turned 80. And I was like, so my mom's 80. She told me not to tell anyone.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm like, ooh, the people without eyes. Like, I think everyone fucking can look.
Yeah.
I won't tell it at the show for the School for the Blind, but everyone else I'm going to tell.
Yeah. It's really funny. Oh my God.
Is it time for us to segue into?
I haven't gotten the alert to segue yet. And I had a great one all lined up.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to segue into it because now it's been ruined, but no, what we're going to do.
Okay. Let's.
Yeah. So. Okay. Talk about something and watch me do it. Here we go.
Okay. So, Danny, you know how I have amazing tits?
You do. Yep.
You do.
Yeah.
No. And you know what's... And I love amazing tits, but you know what I like even more? Amazing tips. Sports tips.
Ooh,
that is.
Look at that.
Like this message from our amazing sponsor, betonline.com.
Yeah.
And...
Danny, give it to me, but just the tip.
Yeah.
There. Oh my God. We have a new fucking catchphrase for them. They'll never take it. We will be back right after this ad.
Doing It Nation, our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info.
Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including
this year's NBA Finals, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball scores, all the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures.
BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more.
Oh, head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get the bonus and get into the action.
BetOnline dash, where the game starts! Exclamation point.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we nailed that in one take.
Shit. What did you? Okay, we're into it. We're smoothly going right back into it. Look at us go.
Look at that.
Holy just smooth sailing.
It was good for me. I mean, it was good for me. The tip was good for me. That's all
man.
I ever need. It's all I ever need.
We ease it in.
That's right.
Ever so gently.
Conversion therapy happening right here.
Yep. This is how this is how we do it.
So what do you have in front of you right now? What's this summer for you, Dana?
Oh, I don't want to brag, but I'm
awesome
going on
changes you're making in the world. Yeah.
Hold on.
So you're gonna get the cruise ship diarrhea. All right, awesome.
Oh yeah, I'm just going for the norovirus. That's what I'm in for.
What kind of cruise?
Yeah, it's a straight cruise, but there's a group of LGBTQ people and their allies going as part of our family. So that's a Rosie O'Donnell's old company. It's owned by Kelly Carpenter, wonderful woman. So that's what I'm doing. And while I cough, Jenny's going to tell me her next gig, and then I'm going to come back into it.
I could tell everyone about Loodle.
Oh, tell me about Loodle.
You know how everyone loves Wordle?
Yeah.
Why not play Loodle? That's the same thing, except with dirty words.
And how did you get that job, Jenny? I just want to tell the listeners.
Dana actually informed me that there was this thing called Loodle, and I ended up posting about it and then became a part of Team Loodle.
How's Team Loodle doing, by the way?
Oh, my God. We're at like 15 million players. We're about to have a free app. We've got some, like, possibly a board game and shit.
There's a lot of dirty motherfuckers out there.
Yeah.
Have you done pussy yet?
Pussy was like the third word, I think. I think the first word was boner, and then penis and pussy. But yeah.
I have a church gig coming up at the end of the week.
Good segue.
You're going to be in Salt Lake City with Mormons.
Yeah. I'll be in Salt Lake City. I have a cruise coming up with our family. It's a small group. They bring on a main ship, but I've got a long show. And then there's a Broadway singer who's incredible named Ann Steele, and her pianist, Will, has a piano night. So that's next week. And then the week after that, I have a riverboat in France. I know it sounds like I'm bragging. And then I come back and go directly to Dallas for a Lambda Legal gala. And if you're not familiar with Lambda Legal, if you're one of the listeners to the podcast, it's basically the organization that fights for LGBTQ laws. So I'm going down to Texas. So all these laws that are hurting our trans and non-binary community and our LGBTQ community and the people of color and our Black community, Lambda Legal does a lot of pro bono cases and sues Greg Abbott, the state of Texas, and they need some fundraising. So I hosted a gala for them in New York, raised about $450,000, and I'm hoping I can do the same down in Texas. And then I head to San Diego for an HRC gala, and then I've got another cruise, and that takes me to the end of August.
Holy, that's just till August?
Yeah.
That's bananas.
It is bananas, yeah. Danny. Actually, the next two months is going to be crazy pants travel, but I'm grateful. I mean, you all know this, like when the pandemic hit, right before the pandemic hit, I remember saying out loud, man, I could use a break. And then the pandemic hit and I was like, this is not at all what I meant. Yeah. Not at all what we meant. Yeah.
Do me a favor, don't wish for another break.
Yeah, exactly.
And I were in, when we were in DC, it was right before the pandemic. Like we were at the DC Improv Danny and I performed. That was the last week and they were open. Then everything shut down. And the whole time,
we flew home and then Tom Hanks got COVID.
Right. Yeah. And then that was it.
Yeah. That was it.
So funny, Danny, because that is exactly how everything, like, if it had been Kevin Bacon, we'd all be fucked because, you
That's
know.
My but, joke.
Yeah. Oh.
I want to tell you this. I was driving down the 405 when I heard Tom Hanks had it and it was going on. And within like minutes of it, this joke, and I pulled over to the road so I could be first because I knew that I would not be the first person, but I think I'm the first. So yes.
We did great minds, great minds. Did you tweet it right there?
We can't, man.
You're adorable. We should all go on the road. Let's get this threesome going.
Let's take it on the road.
This is the company episode I've been looking for.
Absolutely. Come and knock on our door. Yes.
I mean, I've been waiting for, which one is, anyway. So that's my schedule. And we're going to keep working on the pilot and to get that out. And Jenny knows every Thursday, if someone wants to hear me on Stephanie Miller on Sirius XM 127, I do radio from 8 to 9 every morning Pacific time. And if you want to keep hearing my voice in your ear, I'm also the co-host of the Daily Beans with Allison Gill. And you can find that anywhere podcasts are offered. So that's basically what my schedule is for the next foreseeable future.
We're going to link all of that stuff.
Yes.
And awesome. I love Stephanie Miller. I've done her show a couple times.
She's great, isn't she?
I guess she's great energy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that we're all on the same. Like, I didn't know going in. I didn't even want to ask because I don't care about the political stance on the podcast because I don't feel like that was it about. But it's nice to know that we're all on the right side of things, literally on the left, but on the right side of things.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's now not politics. It's like,
no, it's morals.
It's just morals. I can argue about like supply side. I can order about that and all that. I can disagree with it vehemently. What we're talking about right now is reality, science, morals. Are you giving people rights? Or are you taking away rights?
100%
shooting people, lazy. Yeah. It's all just evil. So
it's just basic human rights, you know, like just
well said.
It's
That's okay. What I love saying. We know we've seen the meme. We don't have a difference of political opinion. We have a difference of moral values, and that I can't meet you in the gray area there. There's no gray area.
I'm not interested in, here's the thing. Like, I know what that side thinks and feels. It's not like they're so quiet. I don't need another think piece in the New York Times going like, oh, and what are they, you know, but this is what's going on. No, we know what they're saying. It's just that they've been brainwashed and they've had their hate and ignorance weaponized.
That and they call themselves the silent majority. I'm like, they're neither silent hysterical. Or majority. They won't show the back up and there's not as many of them.
Yeah. that's me calling myself the waif. Yeah. The hirsute waif.
I know.
Well, we're at that point in the show. Let's talk to lighter things where we talk about some of the stuff we've been watching.
Yes.
So Dana, tell us, what are some of the things you've been enjoying?
So Danny, I got to tell you, I avoided it for 2.5 years and then I got the Rona about three weeks ago and it took me down, but I watched the entire last season of Ozark and the entire last season of The Umbrella Academy in 2 days. And those were both phenomenal. If you like those sorts of things.
I haven't started the new season of The Umbrella Academy.
So good.
I plowed through it. I fucking loved it.
Jenny, didn't they handle Victor's transition brilliantly?
It was beautiful. Like, it was just perfect. It wasn't really too much. It wasn't not enough. It was just perfect.
I'm so proud of Elliot. I'm so proud of Elliot Page. Gotcha. Unbelievable. So proud of him. He's so handsome and ugh. I love it.
The real deal.
I watched The Hustle with
Adam Sandler.
Latifah and Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I love Adam Sandler in serious roles. I think he's a great actor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the most tense movie of all time he was great. What was
The Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. I still get a panic attack over that movie. But yeah.
I never watched that because that's what everyone said. The anxiety, and I'm like, dude, I've already have way too much anxiety during the pandemic.
I also call my Catholic straight male friends uncut gems. And so, the Catholic ones, the Jewish ones, very cut. Very cut.
A nice princess cut on me.
They're just gems.
Just the tip.
Jenny, what about you? What have you been watching?
Oh, so Umbrella Academy for sure. I watched, went through all of Stranger Things, and those kids are now like on Medicare. I can't believe that many years went by. I was like, these kids, I didn't even recognize Millie Bobby Brown. I thought it was Winona Ryder for a second.
That's funny, and it's true.
Yeah, it's true. And what else did I just watch? Umbrella Academy, Stranger Things, and I finally finished the second season of The Morning Show.
Ooh, I love the first season.
The second season
was
really thumbs down.
I did not enjoy it. I was like, what happened?
I've heard this from others as well.
Yeah, the storylines were just like, each episode was over an hour long. They could have been 30 minutes. It was like they were just
stretching it.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
It's funny when you talk about the kids in Stranger Things growing up, because I feel like I experienced the same thing with Harry Potter. Like, I was like, whoa, like they should have started with like Fuzzy Potter and now they're Harry Potter, because they've grown into like past puberty where we had some fuzz. Now they're Harry Potter. But it's watching those kids too, the one on Stranger Things with his cute lips and his lisp.
Oh,
and his teeth. Oh, I can't.
Justin, he's my favorite character.
So cute.
Oh,
absolutely so cute. Then I finally watched that. I watched Top Gun. I went and saw that.
I heard that was phenomenal.
Amazing.
Is it good? So I did not like the first one.
Oh.
I know, heresy. But what I like, I've heard I might
there
like.
There was no singing and dancing, so you didn't.
No, I just, it was like, there's so many ridiculous things in that first movie. There's like a scene that takes place in an elevator that's like 3 minutes long. This building must be like three Burj Khalifas tall. And it's like a small office building. And no one thought, there's just little things like that, but go on.
Okay, I will tell you that in this new Top Gun, Miles Teller plays Goose's son.
Oh.
Okay, now this is what gets me. That movie came out in like 1986.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Miles Teller is playing. Okay, in that movie, that kid is like 8-9 years old in 1986.
Uh-huh.
So in 2022, he's in his 20s.
Wait, that math doesn't.
In my face, I was like, wait, what?
What?
Yeah, I'm like, wait, that does the math. That kid should be my age, not in his 20s. So like, yeah, there was little things like that, but it was. like a all over, like it was funny, it was dramatic, it had a little sad, like it fine. I liked it.
Have you guys, not that I'm hosting the, I'm like, hey, here's a question for you. Have you guys, I'm going to do it. I'm taking over. New comedy specials from our colleagues that you've enjoyed. Have you watched any new specials on Netflix from our colleagues and people that have been on the show that you were like, nailed it?
Well, I mean, there've been a few. I mean, I really did love Rathaniel, that the thing that Gerard did. I thought that was wasn't laugh out loud funny, but it was like, I was kind of riveted. What else have I watched?
I would say Ali Wong and Taylor Tomlinson.
I was so proud of Taylor and her new special.
Yeah.
It was raw and vulnerable, and she pulled off that material so well.
Her and I ended up doing a show at the Comedy Store, like right after I watched it. And she went on first and I went on after her. And I was like, God, I look like Taylor's fucking like sassy aunt or something. Like we're both wearing like black leather jackets. I was like, I look like
it's
her childless
before and
aunt.
After. We're just having a before and after make a wish foundation set.
Yeah, I was like, Taylor, like, this is your future, what I girl. Fucking get ready. Like this is what, this is what's in front of you.
That's right. This is an it doesn't get better video.
Yeah. We don't go downhill from here. It's all downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some what about you, Danny? What have you seen?
What have I been enjoying? I love The Boys on Amazon.
I forgot to say that. The Boys and also Only Murders, I meant to say.
Yes. I haven't seen the new season yet of Only Murders, but The Boys is just
The Boys
like,
is fucking
they
awesome.
Actually sang Imagine on it the other, you know. The,
did they did they, that whole fucking thing.
There was some violence in a New Jersey suburb with one of the superheroes. It was really playing off racist cop, and a bunch of celebrities and superheroes sang Imagine, like, and they got Patton Oswalt to do it. And,
oh yeah, it was like Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis all of a sudden swooped in. They just had these like crazy.
It was just like,
it's like the superhero version of We Are the World.
Was, yeah, exactly. But it's like it's just so smart. I've also I've been watching. I didn't realize the new season was out, but it's such a funny show in such a small, but Wellington Paranormal, that Jemaine Clement show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's New Zealand. It's on HBO Max. It features two of the Kiwi cops who were in the movie version of What We Do in the Shadows, and right. they build it out to what all of this paranormal stuff going on. And it's just so funny and dry. I just like really been enjoying that. Did I talk about this? I don't know if we talked. Did we see the movie? Talk about the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
But I haven't seen it
brilliant.
Yet.
Okay.
Amazing.
I love this movie.
You just
so
clutched
much.
Your pearls. Okay.
You did.
I mean, this movie, I've seen it twice. It's like, I'll see it again. It's really something special.
Danny, let's go. I haven't seen it. I'll go to the movie.
Why don't we go?
Let's the three let's of us right go now. To the movies when I get back from Alaska.
Right.
Wait, where are you?
I'm going to Alaska on Friday.
Sure.
Oh my God. It's like, where,
oh, you mean, where do I live?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in Los Angeles.
You are. Well, let's hang out. But I wasn't playing Where in the World is Matt Lauer.
You were like, where are you? I was like, Kherson? What do you mean?
No, I'm going blind. Where is everybody? Is it good? I think those are the things I've been watching that I have been enjoying. Yeah. I'm watching Westworld again. It's a little all over the place.
I'm excited for the new season of What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, I can't wait.
I cannot fucking wait for that.
It's so good. Well, can I just say that, Danny, everything and more, I can't listen to Jenny talk about you anymore.
Yeah.
And so I finally got to meet you.
Thank God.
She, you know, it's like, yeah, honestly, it's
why so, I agreed.
She lived up to the hype, right?
To come to the show.
You lived up to the hype. And then some.
I love it.
And by the way, even if you sucked, I'd be very encouraging, but
thank
I wouldn't
you.
Be this encouraging.
Good. Because everything
you can go back and listen to
I
some.
Didn't grow up with. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. No, and she obviously sings your praises. Yeah. I'm so happy to meet you. She loves and adores you.
Yeah.
And she talks about you all the time. So this is a pleasure for me as well.
Yes. Yeah.
And now y'all can say a bunch of nice things about me.
And Jenny, let's talk about your tits.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And Jenny is like, I like your glasses. Anyway,
I mean, they're very nice. The bandana. I also like your no fucks given?
Oh, yeah. It does.
There
I didn't realize
I just thought it
this.
Said no fucks.
No, this was actually a gift from Shooter. Jimmy.
Nice.
I saw this and thought of you.
I texted you. I went to Brandi Carlile last week, and that was my COVID breakout, and Shooter came on stage to play the piano. I texted you immediately. I was like, your buddy just came up.
He's the greatest.
He is so freaking talented. My God.
So talented and so sweet.
He's the sweetest guy. He's such a nice guy.
Ridiculous how sweet that guy is. But anyway, you're sweet. Jenny, you're sweet. Guy, Danny, our wonderful producer, you're super sweet.
Guy, do you have anything you want to add
to this?
Yeah, no, it was perfect. But I do second everybody on the boys. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, Guy, did you see everything everywhere all at once?
I have not.
Fuck, guys.
Yeah,
I know.
But Dana, before we end this, we're gonna take we'll say bye, then we're gonna take a picture. So don't go away.
So we're gonna say goodbye to the audience to Doing It Nation in 1 second. But you're gonna stick around.
I'm staying. We can just all
and
night.
This is a little glimpse behind the curtain, Doing It Nation, of how it all works.
I love it. I still have a little tequila in my glass, so I'm not going anywhere.
And to our audience. Look, without you, I'm just a really successful guy with 5 Emmy Awards. But as far as the podcast goes, couldn't do it without you. We love you.
Danny, love you.
And I love you, Jenny.
I love you both.
And we'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Dana. Thank you, Doing It Nation.